If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Here's Dane Smith taking the twirl, top of the slot, burn with a drive. Hit the goal post and scores! Buffalo, first time, taking the lead, 10-9.
John Gertler on the call. Unfortunately, the Bandits did not escape with a win over the last two games. Most recently, 13-12, they fall to the Vancouver Warriors last week at KeyBank Center. So the Bandits are sliding right now ever since they've had an opportunity to clinch a home playoff game. And to ask a little bit of what's up with the Bandits as well as get ourselves a little bit of a preview for tonight, we've got our own Trevor Howard joining us here on the West Shore Hotline. Trevor, welcome
Jared,
back
how
in.
How are you?
Welcome back into another Saturday. And third time's the charm?
Third time is a charm indeed. It is very, very simple here for the Buffalo Bandits tonight as they face against the Colorado Mammoth at Ball Arena at 9 p.m. faceoff. A win, you are in. And by in, I mean home quarterfinal matchup for the Buffalo Bandits. It's that simple.
Trevor, when it comes down to it, ever since they've had this opportunity to clinch a first-round playoff game, it has not gone pretty for them. And, I mean, yes, not gone pretty as in you have lost a couple of games by a total of two goals. But it has been just a little bit tough of like, ah, man, they're not the same team that we saw at the start of the season, which was unrealistic to expect anyway. But it does look like they've kind of fallen back to earth a little bit as they're tied for first place overall in the NLL.
Yeah, and I think definitely it's a lot of the league that's just figuring them out right now. You know, ever since jumping off to the 7-0 start, the Buffalo Bandits have gone 4-4 since then. And you know, you can look at it for a couple different reasons. Maybe they're not as creative as they were throughout the first 7 weeks of the season. You know, some of the teams have found out how to shut down some of the top dogs like Dane Smith and Josh Byrne, having to leave Kyle Buchanan and Chase Fraser and Teoka Nanacoke to score all the goals for the Bandits. And, you know, once you get those top two guys locked up, it's going to be hard to really open up the playbook and get creative and create central plays around those guys. But, I mean, you did mention it, Derek. You only lost by one goal in those two games, but they do appear to be on a little bit of a skid right now. So we will see what happens tonight. But there are two different scenarios tonight if the Bandits were to clinch a home field playoff. First one, like I mentioned before, all they need to do is win in Colorado. Or, this is when it gets kind of crazy, a Vancouver loss. They're facing against Albany, plus a San Diego loss. They're facing against Halifax, and plus a Georgia loss. They are facing against Philadelphia. So the Bandits either need to win tonight to clinch a home quarterfinal matchup, or if they lose, Vancouver needs to lose, San Diego needs to lose, and Georgia needs to lose.
Trevor, when it comes down to it, though, the Bandits themselves would just like to get off the schneid and get over these two one-goal losses that they've had to incur. When it comes down to it, though, the Bandits, they still are one of the top scoring teams in lacrosse. They still have Matt Vincent net. So it does look like they're still in relatively good hands. It is just a matter of let's get these close losses and just turn them into wins.
Yeah, you know, you still have one of the best teams on paper in the National Lacrosse League. You mentioned Matt Vince. He's one of the top goaltenders, despite even his age. I think he's 42 years old at this time. But, I mean, they have some of the most top-talented guys in this league, all on the same team. And in order to just get off the deck, sometimes for the Bandits over the past couple of years, it's just been the calendar switch from March to April. They've known to go on a little bit of a slide in the month of March. And then when the calendar switches to April, the snap of a finger, they go, okay, it's time to play now. Then they get hot going into the playoffs. And then you start to see the Bandits that we're usually typical of seeing around this time of year.
Trevor, when it comes down to it, though, not only do they still have Matt Vince, they still have the duo in Dane Smith and Josh Byrne, where here they are, sitting there at 1-3 overall in scoring now, with a game even in hand on Rochester's Connor Fields. Dane Smith now leading the league at 111, Byrne in third place at 108, and again, they have a game in hand on Rochester's Connor Fields in that scenario. So here we are, ho-hum again, with the Bandits threatening to have 1-2 in the scoring lead once more.
It's so unbelievable to think about that. You know, we can sit on here and talk about how the league has kind of figured out Josh Byrne and Dane Smith, and they're still top three in the league as far as overall points are concerned. When you look at, you know, maybe the Albany game or maybe the Vancouver game, and you see Josh Byrne and Dane Smith have about 6 or 7 points apiece, that's sort of a down night for them. You know, we're used to seeing Josh and Dane getting like 10, maybe 11, 12, 13 points a night. So when they only get held to like 6 or 7 points, it almost kind of seems like a down night, maybe an off night for them because they're so, so talented. And I do have to mention this, checking some of the Twitter over the past week for the National Lacrosse League, Chris Cloutier, forward for the Buffalo Bandits, has been placed on the injury reserve. We are now seeing the little scrappy rookie, Clay Scanlon, is back in the lineup for the Buffalo Bandits. So good news and bad news there. We don't like, you know, not watching Chris Cloutier play. He's got one of the best sidearm shots in the National Lacrosse League. But to take his place, you get to see a young and flashy upcoming rookie for the Bandits, Clay Scanlon, who not only scores, but could also lay the boom. He's a big, big physical threat.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Scanlon already has 11 points in his first 8 games as a Bandit. And yeah, I was going to mention that with Cloutier being put on injured reserve there. So it looks like there's going to be a little bit of the depth tested here for the Bandits. But it does look like with the team that they do have, it is just going to be, you got to keep the stars continuing to shine here in Dane Smith, Josh Byrne, Matt Vince, doing their thing and making sure that they continue to thrive for this team.
And it really comes down to fundamentals, especially around this time of year. A lot of what we saw last week, a lot of the key reasons why the Bandits did not come away with the win last week is they were trying to get the pretty goal. You know, take shots from all angles, you know, keep the goalie on his toes. You don't have to go for the point blank shot. You know, you can shoot from all angles, keep the goalie on his toes, have him guessing every single shot that you make. That is when the Bandits are most dominant. That is what we saw through the first 7 weeks. But Colorado, I know that we did mention some injuries with the Buffalo Bandits, but Colorado's missing some key players too. Eli McLaughlin actually went back to Canada, and now he is a firefighter there, fun fact. So he will not be playing for the rest of the season as he's going back home to serve his country, which is, you know, good for Eli McLaughlin. Also looking at Zed Williams, a Salamanca kid, grew up a Buffalo Bandits fan, is out of the lineup as well. He is a player that absolutely destroys the Bandits every single time that they play them, but he has a torn Achilles, so he is out for the rest of the season. Some of the key players that you want to watch are Ryan Leaf, absolutely, for sure. You want to look at players like Connor Kelly, who can get in your face. He's a big physical guy. But so it's not just the Bandits who are injured right now. Colorado's got some injuries too, but their head coach, Pat Coyle, going up against John Tavares, you know, those are, if you combine their IQ points to the level of the sport, it's going to probably go above 1,000. Those are two very, very intelligent individuals, and it's going to be a back-and-forth type of battle that we're used to seeing between these two teams.
Bandits against Colorado, a 9 o'clock face-off tonight. You'll be able to hear that over on our sister station, the Bet 1520. The Bandits having an opportunity to clinch a first-round home playoff game and an opportunity to rebound from back-to-back losses here against Colorado tonight. I will say, though, the good news is they're on the road where they've only lost one time this year. They've actually had their problems at home this year with three losses at home. They're 6-1 on the road through this season.
That one loss on the road was in overtime. Mm-hmm. So it's not even a regulation loss. You know, it was that behind-the-back goal in overtime against Albany that Dyson Williams scored. And, you know, the Bandits have been proven that they are the road warriors this year. So that is kind of where they've been clicking the best. You know, they've been playing some of their best games on the road. Saskatchewan, you know, facing against one of the tough teams, they had the head-to-head tiebreaker against them. They beat them 9-7 in their barn. Very, very tough place to win. Also, the Calgary game. You know, everyone knows about the Saddle Dome. It's tough to win games in there. And the Bandits won 11-6 over the Calgary Roughnecks in the Saddle Dome. So if they want to keep this trend continuing with their road success, Ball Arena, a.k.a. the Loud House in Denver, Colorado, should be on their radar. Hey, we have to win here, especially Saskatchewan losing last night. That could really, you know, not only is it great for the Bandits to clinch their number one seed and, you know, the home field advantage sort of thing, but when you see the team right behind you in the standings drop and lose last night, you want to take advantage of that if you're a Buffalo Bandits player.
Not to mention, Trevor, I looked at everything throughout the whole season, though. The Bandits, they have four losses on the year. Three of them, though, you mentioned the overtime loss against Albany, so obviously that has to be by one goal. And these past two games, they have been one-goal losses. So three of their four losses this year have only been by one goal. So the Bandits, if they're not winning a game, they are still threatening to be within it up until the final seconds.
And they're absolutely still threatening. But what it comes down to is you have some of those quarters in those losses, maybe by a goal, where the Bandits don't score at all. So the difference could be if the Bandits score, let's just say, one goal in the second quarter instead of zero, we could be looking at overtime or a regulation win. That's sort of all that it really comes down to. And, you know, we've seen the Bandits play consistently 45-minute games this year. And by that, I mean they score in all three quarters except for that one. And the theme is either the second or third quarter that's been giving them struggles and maybe some nightmares in there too. But Vancouver, they scored one goal in the second, and then I think up until the 8-minute mark of the third is when they scored their next goal after that. So they can't really afford to go on these 15-minute, you know, we're just going to lay back. No, you have to attack all four quarters because that's really all what it comes down to. If the Bandits had just one better quarter than some of these other teams, we could already be looking at the number one seed locked up.
Trevor Howard joining us here on the Wester Hotline. Bandits at Colorado tonight, 9 o'clock. I've been wondering about his season a lot this year. Ian McKay, 30 goals on the year for the transition player who is now being asked to do a lot more offensively, is putting the ball in the net.
Yeah, I mean, he and the role that he plays on this team, it's fantastic. You know, he's either playing defense if someone goes down with an injury. We've already seen a couple times this year some of the Bandits defensemen are either taking a 5-minute major penalty, so they're sitting in the box for a while, or they're on the injury reserve. So we have to see Ian McKay play back there. This guy scores a lot of goals too. We've had a couple games this year already where he's potted in five in one game. I always go back to that Ottawa game where he just went absolutely berserk against the Ottawa Black Bears. But then he also scores out of transition, too. So he's everywhere out there on the floor, the ultimate Swiss Army knife on your team. And look out for him to play a big night in Colorado. He's had some very, very good success over the past couple years against the Mammoth. They don't really seem to have a real significant answer for him. You know, you can even go back to the 2023 finals. He was one of the main reasons why they took out the Mammoth there in that crucial game three in the best 2 out of 3 series to win that game 13-4. I think he had more than 5 assists that night, and a lot of those goals that they were scoring were off of the transition breakout from Ian MacKay. So he is extremely important to this team, extremely important in this game coming up against the Mammoth team, who are 8-6, but we've seen over the course of this season, the Bandits, when they go up against some of the 500 level teams, they do start to struggle. So it's going to be an interesting game.
Trevor, appreciate it as always. And I got to sneak a draft question in here. My brain has fully committed now to it.
Yeah.
You are a Colts fan. And you do plenty with us behind the scenes for the Buffalo Bills Radio Network as well. But do you have a position that the Colts are looking at here within the first round of the draft that you're hoping that they go ahead and get?
You know what, Derek? I think it should be a layup for the Colts. But if they're going to do it, I don't really know. I want to go with Tyler Warren from Penn State at tight end at 14th overall, see what they do. Because if you look at some of the weapons that the Colts are using out there, they don't really have a lot of hands as far as the tight end position. And they kind of let, it was a good mix of Anthony Richardson and Joe Flacco, but they were getting absolutely destroyed there in the backfield. I think you need a good tight end with a pair of hands, and that can block. I think Tyler Warren from Penn State should be a layup. But you know Chris Ballard. You know the Indianapolis Colts. They are prone to be trading back in the draft. So I'm cautiously optimistic that they take my tight end king, Tyler Warren, out of Penn State.
Warren and Colson Loveland, too. So it's a pretty good first round for tight ends, it looks like. There's a pair of players that do look like they can be first round notable players.
And you want these young guys, especially quarterbacks, to stick around. You want Anthony Richardson to thrive. Give him a safety valve,
Yep. Please.
I think Tyler Warren is that guy.
Trevor, I'll see you around here, and thanks for joining in as always.
Thank you, sir. Anytime. Appreciate you.
That's Trevor Hauer on the West Hur Hotline. Again, Bandits at Colorado, 9 o'clock tonight. You'll hear that game on our sister station, the Bet 1520, after the UB women's team taking on Troy for the NIT championship at Alumni Arena. That will also be on our sister station, the Bet 1520. I'll talk with Jack Cruiser at the top of the hour here on Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Evans on the board. This is WGR.